Thank you for joining us, Senator Brett Hawkins.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was really stormy over here in Olympia, too, so it was crazy. I wasn't even sure if I'd have power this morning, but fortunately, I have both power and internet, so I'm in business.
Thankful for that. Say, there was a big deadline on Friday. We had the cutoff date on Friday. What happens now as it relates to the legislative schedule?
Well, what happens now is that a lot of bills are dead for the session. February 17th, last Friday, you're right, that was our first major cutoff in the state legislature for this session. It was the policy cutoff, and that's the cutoff for bills to advance out of their policy committee. So, if the education committee has a purely an education-related bill or natural resources, healthcare, and it doesn't have a fiscal impact, it needs to pass the committee by February 17th, which means it needed to have been scheduled for a hearing, received a vote, all that process by that date. And a lot of bills that did not make it then do not advance. And then this coming, I believe it's Friday, February 24th, is the fiscal cutoff. So a lot of those bills that did advance that have a financial impact to the state, and I have one of those bills, for example, it had to clear that committee or has to by February 24th. And then it goes on further because the whole legislative session is based on a bunch of rigorous cutoff dates. And this is all determined at the beginning of the session. March 8th is another key date. That is the date for bills that had originated in the Senate to pass the full Senate chamber. And then for bills that originated in the House to pass the House chamber. So what happens is if Senate bills make it through the full Senate out of their committees, then they go to the House of Representatives for consideration. And if House bills make it all the way through their committees and through the full House of Representatives, then they need to go through the same process in the Senate. So we just kind of flip-flop after March 8th. Those are the next couple key deadlines.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about education as the ranking member for early learning and K-12 education. Lots going on there. Maybe you can get us up to speed on this Running Start bill.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So this is Senate Bill 5670. It is a bill that passed the Higher Education Committee, and that's the committee I serve on. It's a concept that both involves K-12 as well as higher ed. Running Start is a very popular program for high school juniors and seniors, so 11th and 12th graders, to participate in colleges at the community college, but also earn credits for high school. And some students take it very aggressively and are actually able to earn their high school degrees and their two-year community college degrees at the same time by the time they graduate from high school. Well, that program was started in 1990, so it was over 30 years ago. It's very successful. But in that time, especially during the COVID time, there's been a mass popularity of online classes. And so my idea with Senate Bill 5670 is let's allow 10th graders to participate in Running Start. That'd be one grade early, so long as they, one, only participate in online courses, and two, are limited to one course per term. So that if they're on a quarter system, I believe at Wenatchee Valley College, they can earn 1 5-credit class online each quarter and then ultimately earn 15 credits in 10th grade. And I think that'll actually help them get closer to being able to actually earn their degree, if that's what they want to, by the time they graduate. Plus, it also gives them a chance to dabble in it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I call it a walking start to running start. And so far, it's gaining support, but it has a hearing today before the Senate Ways and Means Committee. So I'm hoping it goes well.
All right. Now, of all things, hard to believe, but there's actual debate in Olympia over school recess.
Yeah. There was a lot of debate yesterday, and the way I said it is, hey, listen, everybody, I'm pro-recess, but I do have issues with this bill. I think we all support recess for kids, but there is a bill, and it ended up passing the Senate yesterday. It came through the Education Committee that would mandate and get pretty prescriptive about the the time allotments for recess and that you couldn't use recess as a form of punishment. You couldn't withhold academic homework as a reason for kids missing recess. It got really prescriptive. And then, of course, recess has to be staffed. There's going to be a cost impact to the schools. And I just said, hey, listen, everybody, and a lot of my colleagues, too, is the Washington State Legislature doesn't need to become the Washington State School Board. We have 295 different school districts, and they're all local governments. So they're like cities and counties. They get funded largely by the state, but they also get federal funds and local levy dollars approved by local voters. So it's not as if we get to dictate everything to the school districts, or that we should, but that has been the trend, Jeff, unfortunately, for the past several years. The legislature passing mandates onto schools, and it's getting much past just recess, but getting involved in curriculum and a lot of other things. And we just kind of had to put our foot down and say, let's let the local school districts decide this. We all support recess. But honestly, as I shared yesterday, I hadn't even heard that this is a problem. I served on two local school boards for 10 years before I joined the legislature. Then I've served in the legislature now for 10 years and mostly on education committees that whole time. And I'm pretty connected in our district. Never heard this to be a problem until this year someone introduces this bill. So my thought was, if parents do have a sincere issue about this, and I believe some of them do, the appropriate venue is to take that up is with their local school board, with their locally elected leadership, rather than the Washington State Legislature. But in the end, the bill did pass. But it was quite an extensive debate about a school recess bill, one that they brought up on Children's Day at the legislature. My kids were there, other kids. It was a friendly debate, but it was a serious debate. And so the kids got a real treat to hear that debate about a recess bill that I think they thought was going to be kind of an easy pass. That's why they brought it up on Children's Day. But we had to make sure we got our points across.
Now, earlier this week, we had a news story where you've sounded the alarm, if you will, on inclusive curriculum. What can you tell us on that?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm trying to raise awareness about what is happening. The school recess bill is kind of one example, but it gets more involved when the state legislature is proposing mandating that curriculum be inclusive for a whole variety of factors, marginalized people, immigrants, LGBTQ, and including transgender influences in the curriculum. And I'm not trying to pass a judgment necessarily on that concept. My thought more is that should be something, again, that the local communities decide, not some sort of top-down command and control directives, especially on curriculum from the state legislature. It sort of reminded me, Jeff, of something we experienced a few years ago that came through the education committee that was a massive floor debate. It related to comprehensive mandatory sex education. And comprehensive, as you can imagine, includes all sorts of things these days. And I was successful at the time in getting an amendment offered onto that bill and accepted and signed into law that would allow parents to opt out of the comprehensive mandatory sex education. But again, it just, to me, we have local school boards. They're entrusted by the communities to make decisions for what's in the best interest of their students and their communities locally. And I really think we shouldn't be taking those responsibilities away from students. But this particular bill, if it does become law, would require all the curriculum to be quote-unquote inclusive and include all of these other factors that are described in the bill. And I just think this is the type of thing that if this passes, sometimes it goes a little bit under the radar, that a year or two from now, when the School Directors Association and the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction, again, Olympia-based organizations, create this curriculum or policy, and then school districts are forced to adopt it, I think there's going to be issues. So I'm trying to sound the alarm bells for sure.
Are you getting any traction or support from school districts?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. A lot of our school districts locally appreciate it. And what's interesting, though, is so many of these school districts that come before the legislature, one, they don't want to disappoint or offend the majority that are in leadership right now and the prime sponsors of the bills. But also, they're largely Western Washington-based organizations and mostly Olympia-based organizations. And so they're statewide positions on issues, whether it's curriculum or fiscal policy, taxation, and other things, tend to reflect more predominantly the urbanized Western Washington perspective on these things. And my thought is these statewide organizations don't necessarily reflect the entire state's positions, especially school districts in the 12th district and those in Chelan and Douglas County. So I'm as much trying to raise awareness of the general public about bills like this or the recess bill or other things that erode local control of school districts as I am trying to send a message to our local school boards so that they understand, you know, what is happening. Mm-hmm. And it's more than just a trend, like I said, because it's been happening for several years. And ultimately, if things continue like this, the locally elected school boards, the only thing they'll be allowed to do probably is debate their dress codes because nothing else will be left.
Wow. Yeah, there we go. Hey, before we run out of time quickly, anything on transportation we should know?
Yes. Yes. So we are involved. The committee is developing the next two-year transportation budget right now. I have already submitted my budget request. I'm working with the chair and our ranking member and all the people on the committee. What happens is the Senate will propose a transportation budget. The House of Representatives will also propose a transportation budget, and the governor already released his proposal. And in the end, we have to make sure they all sync up. One of my biggest priorities for Chelan County in this year's transportation budget is to get the $85 million that was designated for Wenatchee's Confluence Parkway project, which includes the second bridge across the Wenatchee River, to get that not funded because it was already, you know, in the transportation plan that was approved, but the plan was a 16-year plan last year, and the projects weren't scheduled out. So I'm working with Mayor Frank Kuntz and others to get the Confluence Parkway funding that has been set aside to get that scheduled in the over the next 6 years when we need it. So that's kind of part of the main push in transportation this year for Chelan County.
All right. Senator Brad Hawkins, serving the 12th Legislative District. Thank you so much. We always enjoy these legislative updates. I know it's a busy time for you, so thank you so much for taking time out for us.
Well, it is a busy time, but thank you so much for having me. And if any of the KOZI listeners have any questions, please contact us at SenatorBradHawkins.org. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thank you. More wind on the way. Don't get blown away over there.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. Thank you so much. Again, Senator Brad Hawkins joining us this morning for a Community Connection.